You know, we take things for granted, and only when they are not there, we realize how great and beautiful and needful they are. Don't take friendship for granted. Appreciate all that the Lord gives us every day. Even our health, we take it for granted. And we just go about our day not thinking about it until we get sick. And then, oh, I wish I had it back. You know. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, you sent your spirit to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And I pray today, Father, that our eyes of our understanding be opened, that we may know what is the hope of your call, the riches of your glory, and the exceeding greatness of your power to us, Lord, who believe. I thank you for putting your word in our hearts. And Father, out of it, that it would flow abundantly in way of action and attitude. Out of us, Father, bringing us closer to what you intended for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, my wife and I had, a couple of weeks ago, we had an opportunity to be together for a long trip. It was a 12, 14-hour trip to Tennessee. And, of course, we didn't do it all at once. But we had plenty of time to be by ourselves out of LaBelle. And so, you know, our conversation came always to LaBelle. Our heart is here. And to you people, that's where our heart is. We want to see you grow and mature and be everything that the Lord has called each one of you to be. And as we talked about different aspects, you know, for quite some time, especially my wife, I've been sensing an assignment of the enemy upon the church. You know, the world he's got. And so he doesn't really need to harass him that much, you know, because he's got them, then they reap what they sow. But the church, he doesn't have. And so he assigns different attacks. But you know, he's not God. He doesn't invent anything. He just pollutes and perverts that which exists. He doesn't have any creative power. And we sense that there's a spirit of offense sent to people in the church body in general. And you know, that has repercussions, and you can see the ripples even on our daily activities in the world that we live in. And we see offenses here and offenses there. And not just individuals, but groups. You know, there's a even in our state, I know our government is trying to control certain things, and then there's this fight with even Disney and all of that kind of stuff, and people polarize, and people are offended, and they have their opinion, and they don't keep quiet about it. And anything's happened, you know, anything happens and this person gets offended, and then they have to add their 2 cents, and before you know it, the whole nation is polarized between two opinions. And so the other day, my wife, my daughter, and I were traveling, and we were talking about the Lord, and we're talking about, you know, the things that happen in this church, and lo and behold, we were talking about the spirit of offense. And I felt in my spirit very strong that we needed to talk about this, and that was a message for today. So If it doesn't apply to you, then just get it and put it on a shelf. But I'm almost sure that it will. So with that preamble, we're going to get into the Word then. In James chapter 3, James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote a book, and in it, there's a lot of good things in the book of James for practical living. But in James chapter 3, verse 2, he had a statement here. He says, "For we all stumble in many things." We all mess up. We all err. We're human. We, at one time, we were dead, and we got saved, but our vessels are sort of broken, and sometimes they don't function the way they should. And that's what the Lord's trying to do, using super glue to mend stuff together, the glue of love. But we all stumble in many things. Not just a few of us, we all. And if you think that you haven't stumbled and failed, we'll have an altar call at the end. You can come. It says, "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." So know that at some point we will offend others, and at some point we will be offended by others. It's a given fact. It is a statement. Accept it as a fact and learn how to deal with both instances, both when you are the offender and when you are the offended. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus was talking, and he says in verse 1 of Luke 17, then he said, that this is Jesus talking, then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come." This is Jesus. He says it's impossible that offenses are not going to come. In other words, offenses are going to come. But then he says, "Woe unto him through whom they do come." I looked up the word offense here, and it is an interesting word. It means like a stumbling thing, you know, a snare, a place where we can stumble and fall. And so sometimes the word can mean make somebody sin, or somebody makes us sin. So that word offense is something that you have to be cautious about, and that's why we're talking about it a little bit. When we became Christians through faith in Jesus Christ, you know, now we carry a big target, you know. You know, the store target is, their symbol is, you know, a circle within a circle within a circle, and then a dot in the center. We use it to, as target, to shoot arrows and bullets and stuff like that. Well, Satan decided to put one on us. And knowing him, he likes to put it on our backs. We don't know he's coming. He never comes straight at us because we would recognize him. But he shoots us in the back. When we least expect him, he comes and shoots at us. So we become targets for the enemy to shoot at us. So offenses will happen to all of us. None of us is exempt. So nothing wrong. Well, we are to expect offenses. The issue here is we cannot avoid the offenses. The issue is How would we respond to these offenses? That is what we can do something about. Offenses will come. Offenses, we will produce them as well. What will we do about them? And you know, the offenses can come, obviously, from worldly people. But it also comes from our brothers and sisters within the body of Christ. Sometimes the offense is legitimate. Somebody did wrong, did something wrong to us, and that offended us, and we may be rightfully offended. Other times, people do stuff with us or to us, and we misunderstand, and then we are offended. So that's another category. And then there's a third category. There are other times that we may perceive that we have been wronged. And that happens usually because of our belief system, our prejudices, our biases, our self-esteem, our mood at the time. You know, we got up through the wrong side of the bed that morning and we just, everything stinks. And though anything is said to us, and we take it the wrong way. You know, for us humans, perception is everything. You know, people can do the right thing and we can take it wrong. People can do the wrong thing and we don't have any problem with it. That's what we perceive. The problem is that perception has so many filters in each one of us. And all those filters are different. Many times, those filters distort the way we receive things. And they are not necessarily true entirely. You know, things that can be called filters are our past experiences, our bringing up, you know, our upbringing. Some of us were brought in rough circumstances. We were not protected. We were not cared for. And there are a lot of things that happened to us that did some things within us. Our environment could have been very toxic. And it created mindsets in us. Those become filters. So many times our parents had some fears and they were projected to us and we adopted them as the reality. Post-traumatic circumstances. We all have gone through some rough things in the past that created trauma in us. Some of us has physical or emotional or mental limitations that create filters in our view of things. Those are just examples of filters that we may have that may distort events, and we perceive them as offenses when they may not be truly offenses. But like I said, perception is everything. So if we feel offended, then we need to address the apparent offense properly, whether we perceived it correctly or incorrectly. It's still an offense in us, and we have to do something about it. Some people develop a victim. This is what we call a victim mentality. When an offense that's done to us, we don't properly deal with it, then we wear that offense everywhere in every circumstance. I mean, you can see it. Every time that they face this type of issue again, they feel attacked once again. They withdraw from people that are doing this same thing. They break fellowship, friendships, or they respond back with another attack at the supposed offender. You know, sometimes we wake up happy and, "Hi, how are you doing?" "Yeah, it's a terrible day. Get away from me." You know, what happened? They have a victim mentality. Every confrontation with this time of issue confirms in their minds that they are a victim. You know, they're picking at me again. Why don't they let me alone? And they keep drawing. By their way they feel, they draw the offense to themselves again and again. You know, it's like a magnet. You feel offended, you wear it, and then everything just seems to come and do it all over you again. Whether it's real or whether it's just your perception, to you it is real. And that's no way to live. The enemy would have your number if you feel a victim all the time like that. And if you don't do something about it, you'll end up in isolation, feeling rejected, and always feeling victimized. "You're always picking on me." And then, like I said before, there's the spirit of offense, which tries to infect all of us with a victim mentality. I mean, there are special assignments of the enemy at certain periods of times in certain places. And so we have been talking about that, that atmosphere that has been created in this particular time. This type of spirit is very prevalent among Christians because, remember, we're targets for the enemy and he loves to shoot at us. And there are specific assignments from the enemy to a specific church, to a specific group of people, or even a region. The more people are wounded and not treated, the more the enemy infests others with this same spirit of offense. And if you leave it untreated, it will break friendships. It will break marriages. It will break churches. It will bring racial and ethnic hatred, as you see in this country right now. And it will affect future generations because we pass that attitude onto our children. It will also negatively affect our relationship with the Lord. We have this feeling of a victim mentality, then we cannot relate properly with the Lord the way we're supposed to. Our God is love, and he calls us to love him first above all things. Jesus said, there's two main commandments. First one is, love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And then he said, the second is like the first. And he said, to love your neighbor as yourself. So, many times we don't love our neighbor. And many times we hate ourselves for the way we are and we don't seem to change. The word says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you hate yourself, you're going to hate your neighbor too. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, John here says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, now this is kind of a little extreme here, you know, we may not hate our brother, but we really dislike him. The word says, if you say I love God and hate my brother, then I'm a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This is practical love. And so we are called to love. But you know what? Some people love the victim mentality that they wear every day more than they love God. And they live in misery. And it becomes an idolatry that controls their life. I want to be offended today. And I go out with my scanners looking for who's going to offend me today so I can let him have it. Go ahead and have some coffee and then have some prayer time. Cool off. So we know the problem. We have had it ourselves. We have seen it in others. How do we solve this issue? There's two types that I'm going to address here quickly. Kind of quickly. First of all, when I have offended somebody else. And we're prone to do that. Jesus said, offenses will come, meaning they can go from us to others. Yeah. First of all, we don't want to stay as an offender. Some people just decide to break the relationship, and you want to maintain that offender mentality for the rest of your life. We don't want to live that way. That's not a way to live. Life is too short for us to hold grudges. And the word kind of discourages us from doing that. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, Jesus was teaching the Beatitudes, and verse 23, he says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, assuming you're a Christian, you're a lover of God, and you want to worship him properly. So you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you. In other words, he got offended at something that you did or said or something. Jesus said, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. But the scripture said to love God first. And he's saying, the way you love your brother, your sister, will show how much you love me. And so, this first step after you realize that you have offended someone, the first thing that you should be motivated to do is, first of all, repent. Go before God and say, Father, I miss it with my brother, my sister, with my friend, with my parent, my teacher, whoever. Repent before God. It doesn't matter. Now listen to me. It doesn't matter whether you think you were wrong or whether you were right or whatever. Repent. Jesus said, woe unto them through whom the offense comes. And if the other person is offended, then you owe it to them to make it right. And that brings the subject. You need to go to the person that is offended at you, and the first thing you need to do is ask forgiveness. You know they're offended. Whether right, wrong, or indifferent, they're offended. That's their perception. Go there humbly. Tell them that it wasn't your intention to offend. Don't try to justify yourself or explain that what you did shouldn't offend them. That's not going to do it for you. They'll probably walk away still offended if you say that. If you offended, then you offended. apologize. And thirdly, try to repair the damage caused by the offense. You know, talk can be cheap sometimes. Oh, I didn't mean to. But your demeanor is actually speaking, yeah, I meant every part of it. Or some things may have been done wrong. You may have taken something that wasn't yours and they got offended. Restore it. Whatever the case is, do something to try to repair the damage that was done in the offense. And then after you've done everything to try to bring that relationship back, then this fourth step is very important. Fourthly, you need to release the issue to the Lord, whether they forgive you or not. You say, God, I think I follow everything that your word calls me to do. I don't have any ill grudges. I release this to you. If you gain your friend, that's great. If the person did not want any more relationship with you, don't be angry. Just don't hold it and say, Lord, I did my part. Now you work in our hearts. Pray for them as we need to. And then continue without carrying that burden in your back. So that's when you are the offender. But see, the spirit of offense normally works most when we are the offended ones. When somebody offends us. Now, there can be a difference between someone offending me and me being offended by somebody. Again, it's a matter of perception. Sometimes people intend to offend. You know, they're coming, and they're going to let you have it, and you know exactly what's going to happen. And you sort of duck and raise your shield. And take it like a man, you know, or a woman. You know they're coming and they have an agenda and you are the target. Other times, people do not intend to offend, but we get offended for whatever reason. And sometimes they don't realize that we are offended. You know, sometimes we hide it pretty good. We just give that smile and walk away. Retreat. I'm gonna get you, but you don't know it. When we have been offended, the first step for us to do is go in your prayer closet and ask the Holy Spirit, why am I so offended? That should be the first thing. Is it legitimate for me to be offended, or I'm just being picky? I'm being exaggerating this, escalating thing for whatever thing happened to me in the past, and I think that it's doing it all over again. Is this person ill-intended against me, or I'm just very sensitive in this area? If you ask the Holy Spirit, He will answer. He will let you know. But you need to be honest and willing to be enlightened by truth if you ask the Holy Spirit. But because He's called the Spirit of Truth. And you know, we may be corrected in truth by Him. But then again, we may be right in being offended. And so, if you're still in doubt about your legitimate anger, go to somebody that you know is spiritual enough to tell you the truth. And maybe if you explain the situation, they may give you a better perspective than what you have. If you choose to do that route, I would ask that you keep your offender anonymous. You don't want this to become a gossip I'm going to tell on my friend. And that friend is such and such, has a name, and, you know, we want to tell who it is, but we should zip it. So put an example that portrays the case without displaying names. So you go to somebody that's got some spiritual sense, they give you a perspective, and you still feel that you are legitimately offended. You had a right to be offended because the action was offensive to you. Then I recommend, after you follow the previous steps that we talked about, then proceed with a few more steps. The next step to do right here is to make a decision to forgive your offender. You know, it is not that you should, but that you must. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul is talking to the Colossians and giving instructions. And he's saying some things before, and then verse 13 says, you know, with your brother, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And then he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Not should do, but must do. If you want Jesus to forget about your sins once you confess them, then you need to act likewise with your brother and your sister. So, settle it in your heart. You know, whether they have a legitimate reason or not, I'm going to be the grown-up in this situation, and I'm going to choose to forgive. They may be ignorant. They may be completely clueless. I'm going to be the spiritual person. And even before going and addressing the issue, I'm going to choose to forgive, but I want to clear the environment. And so, prayerfully consider confronting the person. And Jesus gave us some instruction. In Matthew 18, starting with verse 15, Jesus gave us some instruction. Verse 15 starts, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." I know that we always like witnesses. I'm going to confront this person. I'm going to take two or three. Well, that's not the way God intended it to start with. God said, go by yourself first. Find that person that offended you first. You two by yourselves. And then you pour your heart. No, we want to bring two or three so that we can make them look bad. Well, that shows you have not forgiven. You just want to let them have it. So it is important to stay in God's presence before you decide to do this so that the right attitude and love can flow out of you. So Jesus said, confront your offender. And then he ends up saying, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. See, the aim of this is to mend the relationship. Not for you to throw up on them or to get it out of your chest. The idea is to fix the relationship. You have already decided to forgive. So that's not on you anymore, between you and God, but now the relationship between you and your brother or sister, you want to fix that. Try to get their perspective. So many times we misunderstand one another, and we assume intentions when they were not there to start with. Again, perception is everything. So if we try to talk to this person one-on-one, and if we try to get in their shoes so that we know why they did or said what they said, and we put ourselves in their place, would I have done the same thing? Then you can be more forgiving. Yes. And say, you know, I didn't see it that way, but now that you say it, you know, I can understand how that can happen. It's okay. My bad, my misunderstanding. Put yourself in his shoes to see if you can understand why they did what they did. And then he continues to verse 16. But if he or she will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now see the whole picture. You have gone once, and the person didn't acknowledge what they did was wrong. And so you tried in love, and you separated without them admitting that they did you harm. They did not admit any wrong on their part, or they were just didn't care. So you left, still probably feeling offended. And then you take at least one more person or two, and then you go with the same attitude, with the idea to fix the problem. But you see, if somebody comes to me and tells me, I think you did wrong, and I say, no, I didn't, and they left, and they come back with this time with support of another, you know, this can escalate. So the other person is going to be in a defense mode. And so you have to be nice, be kind, but you have to get your point across because you want to fix this situation. And so the plan is still to reconcile, not to let them have it or embarrass them. If she or he admits the wrong and apologizes, forgive. And if it's possible, reconnect the relationship. Be gentle, loving, and forgiving. Because God said, like it says in 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You know, my friend at this point is a sinner against me, you know, but I maybe find myself in a similar situation where I'm the sinner. I have offended, and I want the other person to be loving towards me. You sow and you reap. Hopefully that gets things usually worked out. In rare occasions, you may have to implement Matthew 18:17, but this is going to be the exception and not the rule. Matthew 18:17 says, and if he refuses to hear the first time and the second time with witnesses, then tell it to the church. Wow, it's kind of tough, isn't it? But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. What does that mean? Well, we're called to pray for heathens and tax collectors. So we pray for them. And if the relationship doesn't get, that's okay. Your heart is clear before God and your conscience. Release your offender and the offense to the Lord, whether they repent or not. In any case, releasing the offense would avoid you attracting that spirit of offense that tends to linger for so long. Now, if you realize that there is a spirit of offense in the offended person, Jesus has given you authority to bind the spirit of offense in the name of Jesus. So, You think that there's a spirit of offense in operation here between you and your friend? As you go, bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Don't allow it to manifest. And ask God to open their eyes and their understanding. But now, what did you discover that the spirit of offense is in you? There's a possibility, right? Especially if you are offended continuously. If you discover that the spirit of offense is in you, seek counsel from your pastor or elders, because you can't usually handle it on your own. Usually you have pampered that spirit for a while, and you need somebody to help you deal with it properly. So I pray that this, which is nothing new, I've talked about this before, but it refreshes our situation so that when that spirit of offense tries to come in or wants to use us to be offenders towards others, that we recognize it, we stop it, and we do what is right and proper. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Father, there is no subject that we can go in our life that you have not addressed its principles in your word. And we thank you that we can trust your word that will stand forever, Father. It doesn't matter what age, what era, what circumstance in society, Lord, your word fits. So help us to understand it and apply it, that we may enjoy abundant life while we're here in this world. And Father, I pray that we would recognize that spirit of offense in ourselves and in others, and Lord, that we would approach that spirit the way you told us, Father, to bind it, to cast it out, to have no connection or agreement with it, and Father, to deal with it in love, for love covers a multitude of sin. And Father, I thank you for your people. I pray you bless them today, Father, that tomorrow will be a great day, Father, as we celebrate Memorial Day. Thank you, Lord, for the people that gave their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms. And thank you for sending the greatest warrior, Jesus Christ, to save us, Lord, for bondage, that we may live in liberty. And so, Father, we praise you, we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen.